You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
It is a Tuesday edition of the program. Welcome aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. It is the Gym Class program right here on 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga with you here today. Got a jam-packed show coming up. Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us. We're going to talk about state track and field coming up on this weekend. The Memorial Day weekend. We'll take a look at that. Talk a little bit of basketball. Basketball, always have to do that when we talk with Jeff. So we'll have that for you coming up in just a little bit. And then Cal Elder joins us, our every other week guest on Tuesdays, the former major leaguer. We'll talk about what's going on in MLB. So we'll talk with Cal coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is available to you always. 319-366-1600. That's phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that's also 319-366-1600. We'll get you an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update toward the bottom of the hour. And one last chance to register into our Spring into Cash giveaway with 1600 ESPN. We will do that toward the bottom of the hour as that contest will come to an end here today. And keep you updated as well on what's happening in Omaha. Day one of the Big Ten baseball tournament. The four pool, 12 team, no waiting. Big Ten tournament is underway. Keep an eye on Indiana and Rutgers because those are the other two teams in Iowa's pool. So we will keep an eye on that game for you and update you as we get toward the bottom of the hour. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, Isaac, everyone out there. And kind of a different day out there in eastern Iowa. 1 minute sun shining, next minute a little bit of rain on the way in. Hopefully it gets out of it, gets out of here by the weekend. We've got state track and a lot of graduations.
A lot of graduations, state track, Memorial Day plans, this and that, little race in Indiana, and of which there's rain in the forecast again for Sunday morning. Hopefully that is not going to come to fruition. The four-hour rain delay last year was enough to last me for several years.
It will affect one of us.
Not you.
Not me.
Not you. Hi, Isaac.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Good. How are you today?
I'm all right. I'm just trying to figure out some stuff with my laptop, but...
Uh-oh.
No, it's nothing that major. Just a little minor inconvenience.
You don't need an SOS for somebody with computer skills?
No.
Okay.
No. Just, again, minor inconvenience.
Jeff Linder is going to join us here in a couple minutes, and lots to talk about with Jeff, as we mentioned, but... Wanted to get to this beforehand, Mark, and that is, and you and I have been talking, I mean, we've been talking NIL since it first came around and since it's gathered steam, obviously, NIL, transfer portal, et cetera, one of the predictions that we came up with was the fact that there is going to be someone, an organization outside the NCAA that is going to be put together, has to be put together to oversee all of this. Well, we may have our first indication of said organization as this from ESPN, CBS Sports, also picking it up earlier on today. Leaders from the Power Four conferences are coming together and talking about putting out a document that would radically transform rule enforcement. Now, this is just for college football right now. Yahoo Sports also... one of the first to report on this. It would create the CSC, the College Sports Commission. It would be a brand new entity that would be there for rule enforcement. What it would do, the Power Four schools would be required to sign up for this College Sports Commission or risk being expelled from their leagues and having member schools refuse to play games against them. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case. That seems a little bit radical, but that's what is written down. Also, it would limit the ability for schools to sue over enforcement decisions, radically transforming the outlook of the new era of college athletics. What it would do, Mark, it would make schools subject to decisions by an NIL clearinghouse. The days of signing some 18-year-old kid to $18 million and giving it pay for play, basically, is what it's going to try to curtail. This is all going to come about, apparently, when the House versus the NCAA lawsuit is settled. So yet another reason to highly anticipate the date that that is going to be taken care of, because maybe we can get something together that is actually going to stop some of this nonsense.
Yeah, if this College Sports Commission comes to fruition, I think it would be, in theory anyway, a definite positive step, because we and others have advocated, and most people really have advocated for a long time since this era of NIL and whatnot have come into play for enforcement and regulation. It's just absolutely necessary. I mean, any enforcement would be radical because there is none now. So, I'm interested in a lot of things. Who's going to be on this commission? It's going to be separate from the NCAA,
yes,
which I think is good. I think it might result in a couple court cases because Tennessee is one state and others have legislation in the works that run contrary to what this commission is going to try to do. So, well, I think it's a very good idea, very good step if it comes to fruition, as I said. We'll see what happens. That's a phrase that's been used a lot in college sports these days.
It would make schools subject to decisions by this NIL clearinghouse, which would judge whether these contracts represent the true market value. And again, that would put an end to me reading between the lines. It would put an end to the silliness of giving somebody $18 million for an 18-year-old to come in and play. So we'll see. I don't know. I think it's a great idea. I think it's going to come full circle. And it's interesting because in the CBS story here, it says if this does come and to fruition and be created, the CSC, it will allow direct pay-for-play for the first time in history. Well, yeah, but
technically,
they're doing it. It's already happening. So, yeah, and you talked about the state of Tennessee. That's the most notable state that is putting legislation up to stop this from happening. So hopefully this is going to be put together and it's going to have a lot of power to it and some bite to it. Because if it doesn't, then you're going to have separate states like Tennessee, ultimately Texas and other states like that that are, well, yeah, we're going to do our own thing. And Iowa's not going to do that more than likely. So yet another gap created between the haves and have-nots.
And the language in the stories really is that the commission is going to go to schools in the Power Four conferences and say, sign this or you got a problem. That's the way I read it. You're either on board or you're not. And in terms of enforcement and regulation and whatnot. And I think that's a good thing.
319-366-1600. Troy's back. Had a great time with her grandson. Great. Good to have you back. And I'm glad you had a good time out there. But 8166, yeah, but coaches get to come and go as they please. I mean, I don't think this has anything to do. The players are still going to get to go if their coach leaves. I don't think that's going to change. I think they're going to end up with one free transfer and we'll get another one if your coach leaves. I think that's the way it's going to go. That's been the rumor anyway.
That's a tired argument in my mind. The coaches and the athletes are two different things. While it has some substance to it, I don't think it's apples to oranges necessarily. I mean, you and I and the texter and anybody else who's, is free to come and go as they please or be shown the door for that matter. And college athletes for the longest time, were not employees. They're now employees. The landscape has changed. So, I don't know how much different the two are, but, obviously athletes can come and go as they please now.
319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Jeff Linder of the Gazette coming up here in just a moment. You mentioned the weather a little bit, and I did want to get this special statement out from the National Weather Service. You see sunshine, you see some rain then briefly for the next couple of minutes. Now, you could be seeing a very, very weak funnel cloud form in this scenario, apparently. I am not an ordained meteorologist. I do not know how this works. Conditions are favorable for those development of very weak funnel clouds. I guess don't go and gawk at it or walk into it. If you see one or drive into it, whatever, stay away. Give it a little bit of a clear path, but it's not going to hurt anything from the National Weather Service.
How do you know I'm not a chaser, Scott?
Well, you can chase all you want. No problem with that, but just be careful.
Seriously, heed the warnings.
Heed the warnings out there. All right. Cal Eldred's going to join us coming up in just a little bit, but right now we're going to talk to Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on the Gazette's website. Give him a follow on X or Twitter, whichever you prefer to call it. And Jeff, a very, very busy guy as state track will go off this weekend at the Big Blue Oval at Drake Stadium in Des Moines. And Jeff, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you betcha. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. You got softball right around the corner, but track and field before that. And hopefully it's going to be a cool weekend, that's for sure, in Des Moines.
Yeah, that's all right. Just wear layers.
They like it better than being 89 degrees. And
yeah, it depends who you talk to. The distance kids will be happy. The sprinters maybe not quite as much. Fans, I don't know.
Yeah, very true. How does it look? Let's start with 4A. I mean, we can throw boys and girls in there if you want, simultaneously, individual performances, whatever you think jumps out and leaps out at the top of your brain.
Well, 4A boys, a lot of CIML teams as always. Ankeny is the defending champ. Waukee Northwest had a really good district meet. They'll be in the mix. Dowling, of course. And then you've got Iowa City West and Cedar Falls on this side of the state. Iowa City West has Colin Witters, who's the top seed in both the shot and the discus. And Prairie has a couple of defending champs in Quentin Alexander in the 110 highs and T.O.I. Poor in the long jump. Kennedy's got some good sprinters, good hurdlers, and they'll probably be in that mix for top 6 to 10, something like that. 4A girls.
There's a good long jumper, I know.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. 4A girls. Waukee Northwest is a heavy favorite. Pleasant Valley beat them last year. They're not. Nobody's touching them. Nobody's going to touch Northwest this year. PV will be in the mix for second, Indianola Valley, Cedar Falls. You want to talk local. I think you look at Abby Mecklenburg first and foremost, 20-foot long jumper. And, I'm sure she's going to be a little bit angry going back out there after getting beat at the Drake relays by Reese Brownlee from, Clear Lake.
Yeah, Jeff, in 3A, Quentin Nauman certainly is one of the stars of the season. No question about that. Clear Creek Amanda is going to score on the boys' side, and then looks like several area teams will score in 3A girls.
Yeah, we can go girls first. Mount Vernon. I'm writing a little bit about Mount Vernon for Thursday's paper. They are choosing or bidding to be the first girls team ever to win state volleyball, state volleyball, basketball, and track in a count in a school year. So, so that's kind of a neat deal. They've got. They don't really have a single hammer. They've got a lot of good kids. Evelyn Moeller in the distance events, Callie Whitaker in the sprints. Sydney Maui's a 5'10 high jumper. Libby Dix is a really good thrower. So put that together and, put some good relays together, and they might be in the mix to hang with ADM. 3A boys. Yeah, you talked about Quentin Nauman. He's great. He won the 8, won the 16, won the 32 at Drake. He'll be the favorite, although there's some other really, really good distance kids in 3A as well. Clear Creek, you mentioned. They've got Tay Seals, a really good hurdler and a really good sprinter, and Landon Prince, who's really, really come out of nowhere in the last 10 months to become the state's premier thrower. I think he threw 47 in the discus last year. He's up to 64. 165, I think, to 190, 191, 192 in the discus. So that's just remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. Some great individual performances up and down the line. Doesn't really matter what class it is. I mean, we had there was one night I know was it a couple weeks ago, or maybe I'm losing my my timeline here, week to 2 weeks, but saw state bests topped from 1 hour to the next hour to the next hour. So
yeah,
track is really good this year.
Yeah, it's really good, and we're kind of in a golden age of distance running among the boys. And Nauman's one of the leaders there for sure. And before we get away from 3A, got to mention the Marion girls. They're back to full strength. Kyla Cordes is back. They might be in the mix for a top three trophy, maybe top 5 to 7, maybe a little more realistic, but. Very good team, two really good sprinters, a couple really good distance kids. And, if they're probably one really good thrower or one really good jumper away from being, in that championship mix.
Speaking of individuals, the 2A girls really has a couple dandies and out of Tipton and Mid Prairie, I think, right?
Yeah. Noelle Steinis has eight state championships in her career, 4 at Tipton, 4 before that at Cal Wheat. She's also a 4-time state cross country champion, 3 at Cal Wheat, 1 at Tipton, and she's terrific. She's healthy. She's ready to go. You talked about Mid Prairie, Georgia Evans, really good sprinter, freshman. So you see really good freshmen from time to time in the distance events, not as often in the sprints, but she certainly is a good one.
Yeah. Jeff Linder of the Gazette joining us here. And how about before we get out of track and field here, what's the small class look like?
Lisbon. We've got the Lisbon boys, Tiernan Boots and the rest of those guys. They're a pretty significant favorite. They won 3 in a row from 2015 through 2017. They've got a chance to win 3 in a row again with a whole different cast. And I'd say they're a pretty significant favorite. Iowa Valley, South Iowa Cedar League. Caleb Hack from Iowa Valley, Gage Heaney from English Valleys. Belle Plains has a couple really good hurdlers. So some really, really good stuff there as well. 1A, I think Council Bluffs St. Albert's the team to beat there. Edgewood Colesburg girls, they've got a couple really good sprinters. HLV's got a pretty good cast of kids, and I think that's kind of the high points there.
Big news in girls basketball, even though it's the off season, but several big time jobs open. Two questions with that. First of all, you can just talk about people stepping in there, and then the other question I had, and just heard this from a couple of people, not only on those jobs but other jobs in some areas, that we're just not getting as many people that are applying. as before. Is that kind of the piggybacking off of that, what you wrote about last year with numbers and girls basketball? Is that just kind of a continuation of that?
Yeah, the pool isn't very deep. You know, a lot of people just don't want to coach anymore, and it's easy to understand. It's a hard thing. It's not a well-paying thing. There's a lot of headaches involved. The pool's just not as deep as it used to be, and I don't know what's gonna turn that around. So Mount Vernon, Jacob Meisner's taking over there, Clear Creek Amana, Matt Hoppner's coming down the 380 corridor from Cedar Rapids Jefferson, and Xavier John Gianforte is going to take that job. And boy, talk about stepping in the big shoes of a legend.
Yeah, no doubt. But Coach G will do fine. He's been on the boys' staff, so just moving from the boys to the girls there. And, now Jeff's got a job opening, and it's not super late in the proceedings, but I know that Christine is going to move probably pretty quickly.
Well, yeah. Summer camps and summer leagues and all that stuff's coming up quickly. And, I have no idea who might be applying for that. It's still a 5A school, and but on the other hand, who'd have thought 20 years ago that we'd be talking about a coach going from Cedar Rapids Jefferson to Clear Creek Amana?
True.
As a step up.
Well, CCA probably going to be in that league before long.
Yeah, maybe not as soon as we think. We might be looking maybe still another 5 years, but it doesn't sound like there's a big rush down there to do it. Although I know the MVC would like to get that 16th team sooner rather than later.
They would. And before I let you go, softball starts on Monday.
Yeah.
No rest for you, man.
Well, I'm taking Monday off.
Okay.
So, I think it's going to be a pretty good metro for softball.
Good.
I think Xavier's going to be outstanding. Kennedy's going to be really good. Lindmar's got the possibility of making a really big jump with Emily Caranda back in the circle. Prairie's got a lot back from a state tournament team from last year, so I think it's going to be a pretty good year in town.
Excellent. So that'll be right down the line there. Have fun in Des Moines, and we'll be looking for the preview on Thursday and reading up and everything throughout the weekend.
All right, sounds good. It'll all be online tomorrow morning.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
You bet.
Jeff Linder of the Gazette joining us here to preview state track and field and a little bit more here at 3:27. Going to get to Cal Eldred. Going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you. Leo in Iowa City talking about our conversation about the CSC, asking what if the big boys paying $18 million just decide to go independent after this. Well, that is why they're wanting them to sign that document. So that won't happen. And if they say they're not going to have games with the teams that signed the document, then you're going to end up playing who?
Not everybody can be Notre Dame.
Going to be playing Grandview and other people like that. So not Grandview's good. I'm not putting down Grandview. They're national champions in NAIA. So you don't want to play them either, but I think that is what they have in the back of their minds with that whole you need to sign this document and get into the CSC. Still not completely laid out there as far as everything with it, but Yahoo, ESPN, CBS all reporting that this is going to be coming down the line as soon as we get the settlement between the NCAA and the House. So,
and that should be soon.
Wait for it. It'll be the day that we have the most going on of the entire summer.
It always happens that way.
Big Ten media days in Las Vegas. It's going to be the day the House settlement comes down. You want to bet on that?
Or a day that we're airing Cubs instead of the gym class. which could end.
It could happen.
Information for tomorrow's show.
Yeah, we are going to have the Cubs game at 12:05. It starts tomorrow, I want to say.
Pre-game, yeah.
At 11:35.
11:35, yeah.
And as soon as the game is over, we will have the gym class, Spencer on Sports, Caddy Smack on the gym class. Brian Haas going to join us coming up tomorrow. So that's what the agenda is. Hopefully it'll be a nice 2.5-hour game, which is about the norm now. And you will not notice anything different.
I can just see a rain delay, as Spencer can relate.
All right. Before we get into Mark and an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update, one final time, your chance to enter into the Spring into Cash giveaway with 1600 ESPN. We've teamed up with a national contest to give you listeners a chance to win a $5,000 prize. Go to KGYMradio.com. Enter today's keyword in the entry form for your chance to win. The final keyword is match. Match. Full contest rules. You can read them. They're available on the website at KGYMradio.com. Again, the final word is match. Go to KGYMradio.com and fill out that entry form. All right, Mark, time for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And they are online at emilshideaway.com.
The Big Ten Baseball Tournament, yes, is underway. And it had a dramatic finish in the opener. 11th seed Illinois got a home run on the top of the 10th inning to defeat number 7 Michigan 6-5. In another opener, Rutgers and Indiana, which are both in Iowa's pool, are on the field in Omaha, with Rutgers just now taking a 1-0 lead in the top of the 4th inning. Iowa opens play tomorrow against said Rutgers. Tanaya Davis has left the Iowa women's basketball coaching staff, according to our last guest, Jeff Linder. Davis was an assistant and player personnel director for the Hawkeyes. Saturday's Chicago-Indiana game drew 2.7 million television viewers with a peak of 3.1 million. It was the highest rated WNBA game ever on ESPN. And I've been waiting for this one for the first time, Scott. You might want to leave early for Indianapolis.
We had a suggestion among the group, but it can't happen.
For the first time, though, a Weenie 500 will be held Friday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The race will feature Oscar Mayer's 6 Wienermobiles, each featuring a regional hot dog style. Place your bets now on the Shy Dog, the New York Dog, Slaw Dog, Sonoran Dog, that represents the Southwest, Chili Dog, or the Seattle Dog. Scott, I don't eat hot dogs, and I had no idea there were 6 Wienermobiles.
I knew there were 6 Wienermobiles, but...
How'd you know that?
I've done my research on the Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles, and there are 6 of them. And I have seen various ones out and about. We saw one, as a matter of fact, in the end of April on the trip to Ohio. Went by one on the interstate. But do people only go to these things to watch Wienermobiles crash?
It's going to be streamed somewhere, I know that.
Oh, it's got to be. Isaac, what do you like? What are you putting your money on?
Gosh, I don't know. The cars aren't any different. Like, they don't have, like, the actual toppings from, like, the Seattle Dog on there or anything, right?
They should.
You could really identify them. I do wonder also what is the top speed of these Wienermobiles.
And how long is the race?
I have no idea.
I would imagine it's only one lap.
One lap?
I don't think.
That seems to be anticlimactic.
I don't think those things are going to get around that lap too fast.
No.
Well, they obviously go interstate speed.
And what will be fixed?
Will
there be controversy?
I want to know. I'm sure you can bet on it, so I don't know if you...
There's a free-for-play opportunity at a certain outlet that I did see that.
Crazy. But a great idea. A great idea by that
group. It's meant to kick off the summer, hot dog eating, whatnot.
It's Carb Day Friday. Yeah. Concerts. It's a lot of youngsters. A lot of people younger than Mark and I will be there at IMS on Friday. to partake. And the final, they used to call it carb day practice, but hasn't been a carburetor on an Indy car for 70 years. So some traditions just don't go away.
Well, get back to us if you've ever had a Sonoran dog.
319-366-1600. And we will take a break, come back, and Cal Elder joins us after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. It's going to be gloomy out there with temperatures in the low 60s today, and there will be still a bit of a breeze. There will be the chance, too, for some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms during the afternoon and early evening. Overnight, it'll be cloudy, the winds will back off, and some spotty light showers will continue. Some of that light rain will continue on and off on Wednesday with cloudy skies and much cooler conditions. Temperatures will be held in the mid-50s. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
Hey, want to make your next meal a little less ordinary? Well, head to Quick Star. Hey, we are so back serving up our legendary No Ordinary Chicken. Yeah, your dinner is hand-breaded, fried to perfection, ready to eat for tonight's dinner. Or you can buy it cold, sealed fresh for tomorrow's lunch. You know, we love to make life easier for you. This isn't just any chicken. It's Quick Star's No Ordinary Chicken. Stop into your local Quick Star today and taste the difference.
Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel is your place to eat, play, stay 24 hours a day. With 1,300 slot machines, 25 table games, bingo, entertainment, three dining venues, Starbucks, and a luxury hotel, it's your perfect place for an exciting night out or a relaxing staycation. It's Fight Night at Meskwaki. Throne MMA makes its debut at Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel on Saturday, June 21st at 7 p.m. Don't miss your chance to witness this intense night of fights and jaw-dropping knockouts. Tickets are on sale now and start at $45. Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel, your moment, your place.
Must be 21 to attend. Please gamble responsibly. Void where prohibited.
Good Guys Auto Parts, Iowa City's only family-owned, family-run auto parts store, invites you to experience something gooder. Gooder prices, gooder brands, gooder warranty. Swing by to shop in person or give us a call for fast, free delivery straight to your door, garage, man cave, or she shed. Good Guys has been voted ugliest parts store 15 years straight. But hey, like your mom said, it's what's on the inside that counts. Good Guys Auto Parts, gooder than good, the goodest.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long, proudly presented by Yonda Motor Services. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
Back with you. Oh, my goodness. We could have done a whole hour on the Wiener 500. First of all, we need to devote a segment to 9869's sign that they have wrote to us, was found behind my house and now in my truck, that says, "Caution, monkey driving Oscar Mayer Wienermobile."
Do we have pictorial evidence?
Yes, there is a picture of the sign that is now in their truck. And we may have to reach out on a Friday to 9869 just to find out a little bit more about this.
We may do that.
Because there's got to be a great story behind this. Anything with Wienermobile and a monkey.
And we need to get to Cal Elder, but I looked up Sonoran hot dog, which it's a street food in southern Arizona and in Mexico. Listen to this. It's a bacon-wrapped hot dog served on a bun or a roll.
So far, so good.
Typically topped with pinto beans, tomatoes, onions, jalapenos, mayonnaise, and mustard. Does that beat the Seattle dog?
Pinto beans.
We did have someone just call right before I called Cal saying that they had tried it and they really enjoyed it.
Okay, maybe it's better than it sounds.
The Seattle dog does have cream cheese on it. I was telling Mark that in the break, and I'll say I'm going to have to pass on that one.
Yeah, no cream cheese. No cream cheese.
Yeah.
Right there. Man, the Rutgers outfielders keep running into walls and each other. They almost dropped their second center fielder here. We're going to talk baseball. Cal Eldred joining us here every other Tuesday on the gym class here on 1600 ESPN. Do you like pinto beans in your hot dogs, Cal?
No.
I don't either.
I'm a big fan of the bacon-wrapped hot dog with jalapenos, probably a little cheese and some ketchup.
There you go. There you go. Hey, we should get this before we talk baseball. Got a couple of reports here. There is street flooding on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids with all these pop-up storms, and they've been popping up over the southwest side. So if there is a low area, don't drive through it if you see standing water right there. So thank you for those to our listeners out there. All right, back to baseball. As still 1-0 Rutgers, by the way. Are you going to partake in the Big Ten baseball tournament this week, Cal?
I will definitely keep track of what's going on, without a doubt.
Okay. Now, do you like this new format? I don't. The more I think about this, I'm not a big fan of this particular format. Mark and I are both, and you probably as well, the old school double elimination. But I understand with the expanded Big Ten, now 12 teams there, it could take about a week and a half. So maybe that's the principal reason why they're doing this.
Yeah, I just think that once you have that many teams and you want the teams to be able to, you know, obviously as many teams to represent the Big Ten as you can, represent the conference. It's hard to call it the Big Ten with as many teams as there are. But the reality is they had to do something. And I'm with you, Scott, and I'm sure, Mark, you're probably the same way. The double elimination, you get a chance to work your way back in and make it happen. But I think unfortunately, with as many teams as there are, this is what you have to do.
Yeah, you get two games either way, but this format definitely favors the highest-seeded team because you can lose one, and everybody goes 1-1, and the highest-seeded team advances. So, yeah.
If you're the lowest seed and you lose that first game, you're done.
You're done.
You're done.
Yeah, you're cooked.
Since we last talked, Cal, the news that Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, among others, removed them from the ineligible list, making them available for the Hall of Fame in maybe 2028. I don't imagine this has changed your opinion, or has it?
No, not really. I think that, you know, I guess it is probably just because of the, you know, how serious and they were about the rules on gambling. You know, I think that was something that, you know, the entire time I was involved in professional baseball, it was just an absolute no-no. And so I would say I agree with you, Mark. It really, really has not changed my opinion on this issue.
Now, would that be, I mean, the Joe Jackson, I don't know. No one's around when Joe Jackson was around to, you know, authenticate the fact that he didn't know what he was doing or things like that. So I'm not sure about the whole Black Sox and the 1918 White Sox situation. That's a whole different situation, and it's apples and oranges to the Pete Rose situation.
I would agree with that, Scott.
I don't know if they're going to get – I think Jackson's going to get in, though. That's just my opinion.
That would not necessarily surprise me. There's just so much that's, you know, water under the bridge in the Pete Rose situation that's going to be difficult.
Cal, some managers and coaches get fired for good reasons. Sometimes it's just perplexing. Every situation is different, as you know. Brandon Hyde won 100 games 2 years ago, was in the playoffs the last two. We all know the poor start the Orioles have had this year, but he constructed that turnaround there. Definitely had some great talent in the minor leagues that became big parts of that 2023 season. But it confounds me all the time that, you know, managers don't forget how to manage. I mean, earlier in the year, not so many weeks ago, Rocco Baldelli, the people wanted him fired, and look what happened. Things can turn around, but Baltimore felt differently.
Well, and I completely agree, Mark, and I know you've covered this enough in, you know, in your lifetime and your career, and you've seen this happen. And I think sometimes, lots of times, probably more times than than, you know, most baseball fans want to admit, it's not the manager's fault. In Baltimore, you have some players who are just not playing well. They're not, and they've had Cowser hurt. They didn't sign anybody to replace Burns, and you know that's tough. I mean, until you're on a pitching staff, there's not one or two guys you can always look to stop a losing streak, to actually gives everybody else more confidence. That's really tough. So I think Brandon Hyde, in his situation, some of his hands were tied a bit, and it was a tough situation. And that's ownership, and to be honest, those who put the team together, that's their issue, not his.
Perhaps a general manager should have been the one.
Maybe true
to go.
In Pittsburgh and Colorado too. I don't know.
I would agree. I especially in Colorado. I mean, Colorado has done things wrong for a while. And that's not the manager that's not Bud Black's issue. That's an organizational problem. That comes from the front office. It comes from ownership. It comes from minor league development. When they have not developed pitching for a long time. Plus, you take in Colorado situation, you take Tovar and Brenton Doyle and Estrada, their second baseman, out of that lineup, they're not very good. They really are not. So, and Chris Bryant, who they gave a big deal to, hasn't played. So it's a tough scenario there. And in Pittsburgh knew they had young players. They still were going to struggle offensively, and they're still relying on some young pitching. You look at Mitch Keller there, and he's the wily veteran, and Mitch doesn't have that much time. So that right there, that's possibly a Ben Cherington problem, not a Derek Shelton issue.
I know all about bad organizations. better news. Hey, there's baseball in St. Louis this year, Cal. Your Cardinals suddenly are red hot, along with Mark's Minnesota Twins. We will get to them in a moment. But let's start with the Cardinals, and the Redbirds have cut that Cub lead down to one game.
Well, you have to give St. Louis some credit here, because they went on a road trip. They had a really good road trip. They've played, so they're playing baseball. And I mean, they're playing. They beat Detroit yesterday. They're playing Detroit tonight. They've got Scooble tonight. That's a tough matchup for sure. But their starting pitching's been better. Their bullpen's been better, and that's what they needed to have happen. They need to get Arenado going. I know he's still struggled a bit, but it's really good that, even though he's been struggling, they're still scoring enough runs to be able to win ball games. And you guys know how it is in St. Louis. It's contagious. It just is. When the lineup gets going and the team gets going, the fans get excited, and it's a contagious atmosphere of success.
Cal, the AL Central looks to be nuts. I mean, Detroit is playing so well. The Twins go on a streak, and they gain – you know, they gain only three games because Detroit's playing so well. And Cleveland, I don't think it's going to go away. Kansas City, nearly, Bubich was great last night. And I don't think they're going to go away. So it's going to be a wild scramble. But unless the Tigers let up a little bit, it's going to be the Tigers' division.
Well, in Kansas City, they're struggling to score runs. I mean, Kansas City, ERA-wise anyhow, is the second best pitching team in baseball, and that's has a lot to do with how well Chris has pitched. And once I just had got a smirk and a chuckle today when I saw how well Chris pitched. It's really close to his home in California. He has always pitched well there, so I could see that one coming. But you know, he's pitched really good of late. That Tommy John surgery, he's matured. He got through Tommy John, and then now he's matured as a pitcher. And it's fun to watch those guys finally mature and have success. But, you know, they went outside the organization and got some pitching, and it really has helped. But the Twins, look, the Twins, they had no choice. They had to spend something like that. They had to do that. But you look at their starting pitching has been really, really mm-hmm. good. And Larnick and Brooks Lee have been really good and pretty consistent in the lineup. But, you know, there's something about that team. I was taking a look at them. Something I really like. Unless you have an absolute stud all-star behind the plate. You need to have two solid guys back in your on your team. And Vasquez and Jeffers are those kind of guys. And so that really helps your pitching staff. And that if they can work together, that's why they have streaks like this. But, guys, man, I agree. Cleveland's not going anywhere. Don't count them out. They play too good of baseball. But the Detroit Tigers, man, they have won close games. They've come back and won games. Their bullpen's been good, and their starting pitching with Schuble at the top of the rotation is as good as any in baseball right now.
He's the best. Cal Elder joining us here at 349. I keep looking and watching with wonder, maybe not with wonder, but here come the Atlanta Braves after what, 0-8 start, and they're starting to get healthy. For Cal's coming, pitching is coming. They're getting guys stepping up, some of the young starting pitching. They're over 500 now and crept within five. Philadelphia, the Mets, and Atlanta is just going to be fun to watch this whole summer.
There ain't no doubt. And you know with their offense, they've had enough guys stay healthy that now and gotten them healthy that now they're starting to have some continuity in their lineup. And you knew that I know you guys, you know, it's still Max Fried is not in that rotation. And that's going to be tough. But it's just something that they're going to have to deal with. And they know how to win there. And that's similar to the St. Louis situation. That it is, once they get on a roll there, that is contagious. They're expected to be good, and they have been of late.
Before people text in, Acuna. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Cal Acuna.
Yeah.
But he's getting healthy.
Back right after I played, everybody remembered for calls.
Very true. 51-65 back to the Cardinals. Is the Cardinals' success sustainable?
Oof. I think in the American League or the National League Central, I think it is. I think you're going to see a continued fluctuation with Cincinnati and St. Louis and Milwaukee in there. Milwaukee hasn't played well. Their pitching has not helped them. But and I don't think Milwaukee's this bad as they have played recently, and maybe Cincinnati's not a team that is good enough to win five in a row and keep sustaining it. But I think because of the makeup of those three teams, I think it is sustainable. It's going to be who they play and are they hot? Because you can run into a Minnesota and have three or four games against them, and, man, it doesn't matter how good you play. They're going to beat you. And that's just how it is. So and right now St. Louis is playing Detroit, and we'll see how that goes.
Cal, asked for me today. The Major League Baseball begins testing technology for teams to challenge check swings. That's going to happen in the Florida State League. I don't think this is going to go very far, Cal. Do you?
No, I think that. That to me is one of the biggest gray areas in baseball. You can read the fine print as to what a swing is, yet you watch guys go. You have to break the wrist. Does the bat have to come out in front of home plate? And I think each swing is so different. And you're asked, and plus you're I still think even with video, it's still going to come down to a human going, yeah, I think that's a swing.
Yeah, it's like a 45-degree angle perpendicular to this.
Oh, boy. We need more of that.
Anytime you throw that stuff in there, it's still it was always just whatever. Our big joke, as players and coaches, is just the umpire just flips a coin. Oh, okay, that's a swing. And it's because it has to be really obvious to me what to say that a guy swung. And I know that doesn't sound like a pitching coach saying that or a guy that was pitched that's saying that, but to me it has to be obvious.
Agreed. Well, enjoy the Big Ten tournament, Cal, and enjoy the baseball. We'll talk in a couple weeks.
That sounds great, guys.
All right. Cal Elder joins us every other Tuesday here in the gym class. Talk some baseball with you at 3:54. Quick break. Come back. Wrap things up after this.
Think deer season is just in the fall? Think again. At City Tractor, your local John Deere dealer, deer season is now. Spring into savings with up to $3,000 off select John Deere tractors and mowers. Plus, take advantage of our convenient financing options. Don't miss out on these incredible deer season deals. Visit City Tractor in North Liberty, Iowa today, or find us online at citytractor.com.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
At Progressive, we understand the bond you have with your boat. It's why people name theirs.
I was pretty hungry and looking at a menu when I named my boat Change Your Tuna. The backup names were Trick or Trout, I Salmonly Swear, and oh, it gets worse. New squid on the block. It wasn't my best day.
Whatever you call your boat, protect it. And start with a quote from Progressive, America's number one boat insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Number one rating based on boat market share data from ratefilings.com.
Did you know your skin is the largest organ of your body?
Huh?
That's why you should shower with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash instead of plain old bar soap. Love your skin by super hydrating it with vitamin B3 and glorious notes of vanilla and shea. Did you know that my super hydrated skin is the second largest organ of my body? The first is my heart. Old Spice. Men have skin too. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. 24/7 renewing moisture with daily use.
Back with you at 3:56, putting the finishing touches on this Tuesday edition of the gym class coming up tomorrow. After the Cub-Marlin game, we will have Caddy Smack on the gym class for you with Brian Haas. Get your golf questions ready to go at that time. Couple things to let you know about. Still a little bit, I'm sure, just a little bit of street flooding still in southwest Cedar Rapids. Got a couple of people that told us about that, so thank you very much for that. So if you see some water pooled up at an intersection, if it seems a little high, maybe go the other way. Don't drive through it. Just be safe out there. Looks like most of the rain, unless it redevelops over us, we're done for a little bit anyway. Horribly sad news, and I hate to do this at the very end, but this is breaking news coming out. Those of us who loved the sitcom Cheers are in mourning. George Wendt, the six-time Emmy-nominated Norm Peterson, has passed away at the age of 76. That hits hard. Mark.
He's my favorite character on that show.
Norm.
I think a lot of people's, and people could relate to the guy sitting at the end of the bar.
Yep. George Wendt passing away at the age of 76. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3. Have a great night, everybody.
The playoffs are in full swing, and you can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest game-changing moments to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in